Bush went to sit over there in the.
The meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners will come to order. Thank you very much. We're slightly late, but we're not gonna stay that way. I do want to remind people that there are tapes made of the meetings. If you want to get our attention, please say your name. That way, not only I will know who is seeking the floor, but so will anybody who listens to the tapes. And concerning public comments, we do have a specific time in the agenda for the public to comment, but we also, at the discretion of the chairman, take public comments when we think it works time-wise and subject matter-wise. So, you know, that's kind of what our policy on that is. Are there, does everybody have an agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
There are extra agendas on the chair at the, by the back door, and so if folks come in, if anybody else comes in, maybe you at the back can show. They have been? Oh, okay.
There's some right here.
Oh, they were moved to the front. Okay. Well, anyway, if somebody can kind of make sure folks have agendas as they come in. Thank you. We have both Braille and print agendas there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now the minutes of the February 21st meeting. We did get the focus report from Jonathan yesterday. So, you know, it can be attached to the minutes if people have looked at them and that hasn't been there, it's because it hasn't been there. But it is now available, and so when the minutes are approved, it will be able to be attached to them. Is there a motion to approve the minutes, or are there corrections or additions or anything like that?
I'd so move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the February 21st minutes. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, opposed? Okay, so they need to be moved from draft to approved status. Okay, it's now 9:14, and at 9:15 we were going to move to the focus topic. So we are on time in spite of getting started slightly late.
Madam Chairman.
Yes. Oh, one of the things we didn't do is introductions. I'm in such a hurry, I better slow down. We need to do that. Is that what you were going to say, Dorothy?
Well, that too, but I noticed on the agenda, I had emailed you and asked for executive session. That's not on the agenda that I can find.
Okay, we had several emails going back and forth, and my last inquiry about whether we still needed to do that or not, I didn't get any responses saying yes, put it on the agenda, so that's why it isn't. Are you requesting that we?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I suppose now would be just as good a time as any to vote on that. We do need to do that. So, are you making a motion that we?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I would second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we go into executive session for the purpose of discussing
hearing Larry Mackey's.
The personnel issue. Okay.
That.
Yeah, we talked about the last one.
To discuss the grievance process?
Yes.
Okay, is there discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we will probably have a slightly longer meeting. you know, we do need to now do introductions. So I'm Barbara Lowe, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners from Lincoln.
Bill Arrester from Lincoln.
Bob Burns from Omaha.
Nancy Altman from Hastings.
And Dorothy Weston Yankee from South Sioux City.
Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director, Lincoln.
Amy Burrish, Lincoln.
Shane Burrish, Lincoln.
Nancy Plural, Omaha.
Kaya David, Lincoln.
What was Floyd Lincoln?
William Kendra, Southwest.
Carlos Irvan Lincoln.
Jimmy Arapa Maha, Commission Webmaster.
Aaron Clayton, Sioux City.
Richard Crawford, Sioux City.
Rich Yaki, South Sioux.
I'm Larry Lincoln, I'm driver from Lincoln.
Larry Mackey, Lincoln.
Andrew Quinn, Lincoln.
Is that it?
Wait, just a second.
No, it isn't, I know it isn't.
There's at least one more.
Hang on. I'm Connie Carlo from the Norfolk Commission Office.
And Connie is taking our minutes today. Okay.
I didn't get some of the names in the back. After Rich, who was?
Chris, Yaki, Dorothy, Susan.
Yeah, but next to Rich Crawford?
Karen Clayton from Sioux City.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody. I don't know, I think that's the first time I've ever forgotten to do that. I get to forget something different every meeting. Okay, now we will move forward to the focus topic, which is the rule, Chapter 4, Workplace Policies. And we have, on the schedule, we have from 9:15 to 10:45 to discuss rule. And Pearl, did you want to begin by doing like an overview kind of thing?
Sure, I can do that. Before we jump into that, I would also request that there be a break at some point mid-morning, particularly for the person taking notes. That person definitely cannot, just get up and step out for a minute, nor can, is it real comfortable for...
How about right after the hour and a half?
Yeah.
That'd be a logical break point.
Whenever you like, but just so we work that in. Thank you. Okay, well, I did send to you the draft revision of the workplace policies, and so first I wanted to ask if all of the board received that.
Yes.
Okay, great. What we did was to go through our workplace policies and compare with the labor contract and rules and regulations, but mainly the labor contract because that impacts most of our employees, and pull out language that was already in the labor contract. The former or the previous workplace policies had quite a lot of duplication from the contract itself, and so we went through, we made it, kind of pulled those things out so as not to duplicate, and then worked at just having the parts that really are most crucial to helping the new employee or the current employee understand what's expected of them, what their benefits and rights will be, what their responsibilities will be, and so forth. We start out with a general introduction to the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Then there is general information, which includes our mission, some concepts around which our work is focused, code of conduct, workplace, excuse me, equal employment opportunity, equity and diversity, workplace harassment and discrimination policy, disabilities and accommodations, drug-free workplace policy, confidentiality. I'm just kind of reading, obviously, some of the headings, use of state property, operation and use of state motor vehicles, employee dress, political activities, law violation, employee fraud, security and safety, pay information, benefits, and let's see, employee assistance program, training and tuition assistance, the credit union, how to do expense reimbursement, internal complaint and grievance procedures, a vendor solicitation policy, and I believe that's it. So.
And there was one on there about relationships with clients.
That's in the code of conduct.
Yeah.
Yes, and we can go more into specifics, but I thought I'd just kind of give the overview first of all. So, let me read, I guess, what we have about the, I think the culture principles and the code of conduct probably are the most pertinent to our discussion today, but of course, any part of it that you all read and want to discuss more fully, we can certainly do. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, our mission is empowering blind individuals, promoting opportunities, and building belief in the blind. We provide services enabling blind persons to achieve education or training, engage in the workforce, eliminate dependence on public support, and to be able to live independently, fully participating in all facets of life. Our primary principle is the concept that vision loss alone does not prevent people from achieving personal goals and ambitions to accomplish full participation in life. Persons with visual impairments need to develop a positive understanding of blindness, gain confidence in their abilities, and learn the skills needed to function non-visually. Employers, educators, family members, and the public in general require education and information to understand how tasks are done without vision in order to eliminate the attitudinal barriers that prevent blind persons from achieving their goals. Then there are five C's. Communication, these comprise our culture principles. And this part we may want to revise or include.
Excuse me, Mrs. Schubert. We have machinery overhead that is drowning a little bit of the speech. So anybody talking from the front, please speak up a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you telling me that. Okay. So the culture principles, communication. Communication means keeping people informed, listening actively, being open and accessible, and ensuring that we are accurate, timely, and complete in all that we say and write. Our consumers, the people we work with, and the public see us as open and honest in our communication, believe that we hear and understand what they say, and view us as a source of valid and reliable information that is easily accessible. Cooperation, or flexibility and adaptability. Cooperation means a willingness to work with others in good faith, assisting them and accepting assistance from them. Our consumers and people we work with join us in seeking solutions and improvements. Collaboration, teamwork. Collaboration means a willingness and ability to work together with others as equals in the pursuit of common goals. Our consumers and the people we work with trust that we will work with them as partners in the pursuit of common goals. Customer service. Customer service means responding to our customers in a respectful, timely, and effective manner. Our customers know we value them and are considerate of their needs. Confidence, job knowledge, and productivity. Confidence means reliance on us to do our jobs effectively and efficiently with integrity and fairness. Our consumers, the people we work with, and the public learn that we do our jobs with commitment, professionalism, efficiency, and through accountable programs and accurate systems. Code of conduct. And please stop me at whatever point you'd like to discuss. Service and professional conduct. Commission employees will implement all roles, relationships, and responsibilities of employment in a professional manner. all persons are entitled to expect NCBVI employees to be honest, trustworthy, and respectful, and to take responsibility for upholding these standards of behavior. Commission employees measure their actions using these standards. Commission employees shall maintain professional standards. Commission employees demonstrate only proper and unbiased involvement with consumers. Inappropriate personal relationships with clients are prohibited. Commission employees' personal appearances and workplaces.
Can we stop there?
Okay.
How do you enforce that? You know, like the last meeting, I brought up an issue with where a counselor was dating a client. How do you enforce it then?
What we do is when we're aware of a situation where a staff member is dating a person or having any kind of relationship that is inappropriate or you know, has the potential with an individual that they immediately work with, who is their client or in their scope of training, we have supervisory counsel with the person. We discuss with them you know, what the guidelines are, what professional behavior is, and you know, find out from them what the whether there's been a misunderstanding or if indeed there is a relationship. I mean, we've only had a few situations, but where there was inappropriate behavior, we either can you know, we've got the steps of the supervisory counseling and then written warning if needed. Correction is if the person corrects the behavior, for example, or you know, works on mm-hmm. their behavior. It can go to discipline if that's needed. But the focus, I think probably where your question is that we've had, is that scope of influence. And we really haven't completely hammered out what the best language is and what language will be consistent with the labor contract, because we still need to...
But see, the labor contract doesn't apply to management.
Right, then that would be rules and regulations.
Okay.
And those have similar provisions as far as, for example, in the labor contract, one of the parts that has relevant language says that, and this is in terms of what a person can be disciplined for, failure to maintain appropriate working relationships with the public, employees, supervisors, or managers while on the job or performing job-related functions. That's sort of related. The rules, which I don't have the rules here, but they have similar language. And in both, it's appropriate. That word appropriate working relationships is.
Okay, I checked since our last board meeting. I done some investigating because I wasn't prepared, and I guess that's my own fault. But I checked with the Board of Examiners, the part of Health and Human Services that investigates and monitors professional behavior. And they say even a client of the agency and the counselor lives in a different part of the state, it still applies in its own professional behavior. And so in this incident, it should be, there's some, you know, disciplinary action should be taken. And sorry, Bob, there are laws against, you know, counselors dating clients. And I checked that out also. And they did say one thing, though. We have to establish, and we should have done this day one, and I guess we all were new at this job, that, you know, this professional conduct, for management especially, we should have done that from day one, and we really weren't prepared didn't know exactly what we should have been doing at that time. We're kind of all muddling through this, but it still applies to this particular incident.
Well, we have had workplace policies as well as the rules and the contract in place since before we became a commission. And so
they told me all laws, contract you have, maybe with the union, but it doesn't apply to management staff. They said everything that came before the commission, since we're a newly formed independent agency, we had to establish our own workplace policies and professional ethics. And that's where we failed.
But we've operated within the state rules and regulations, which does cover management, and the contract, which does cover non-management. It's a minor point, but I really think it's important to understand. We have had and have paid very definite attention to appropriate behavior, professional behavior, you know, all of the things that you're talking about are important to us.
Well, I know they are, Pearl, but nothing has been done in this case. It continues, it's been going on for a lot of years, and nothing's ever been done about it. That's my point.
Well, first of all, one thing is that when there are actions, say at an initial level of some kind of activity with a client, the public, that's when a counselor has, when a supervisor has a counseling session and discusses a behavior, whether it's with a client or whether it has to do with timeliness of their work or, you know, tardiness or anything, that's not something folks are going to know. That's not something that's going to be brought to the board or other. We work very hard to keep the confidentiality of our employees so that the whole workplace doesn't know that so-and-so was disciplined or even just counseled about something. So I think that's a part that I think you need to respect.
Well, respecting that, but knowing, you know, like the blind community in Nebraska is very small.
Right.
Everybody knows what's going on, and there's never been anything.
Or thinks they knows what's going on.
There you go.
Well, they think, but this year, I think there's concrete evidence too, in this case. So,
of course, okay. Part of the thing is any client, which maybe gets into any relative, any you know, board member, employee, and not just a relationship, but the connections. We are a small community. That's very true. We encourage all of our staff, whether they're blind or sighted, to be involved with the blind community, the organized groups of the blind, and you know, really to take an active role. And you know, sometimes a board member could also be a client, and what about the problems there, or family relationships, or where there's a supervisor whose wife is a client, you know, how does that impact the counselor who works with that person? So, you know, there's many things. It's not just dating, but there's many things about relationships, the work in our work, because we are a small community and because we encourage that, whereas other professions, with psychiatrists, with social workers, you know, therapy type of counseling, which is more what HHS governs, those are different and very clear, and there's no question. You don't provide counseling services to someone with whom you are related or have some kind of supervisory relationship or have an intimate relationship. And but it is different with our organization, or not this organization, but with our field. And so we've really had, actually, in the past 6 years since I've been the director of the Services for the Blind, we've paid probably more attention to this than ever before, and really worked at and talked through and thought through how can we develop and have real, you know, how can we be clear, how can we work with these aspects of our involvement with each other in a way that's productive. And for me, some of the key concepts are objectivity, the ability for all of us to, us who work for the commission, and actually I would include the board in that as well, to be objective and conscientious. You know, some of the rehab language has to do with clients being the possibility for dependency. For us, the concept is not so much dependency as vulnerability, because it's not that there's these poor blind people and we're providing this service to them, but you tend to be in a vulnerable spot when you are dealing with blindness, and typically someone who's a rehabilitation client often is in that vulnerable state of learning skills, adjusting to blindness, developing self-confidence, all of those things that are what we're about. And so we want to be very mindful of that vulnerability and of the role that we can play, we, the employees, the counselors, the support staff, the teachers, even the drivers for that matter, and the board as well, the role that we can play and how that can impact in a non-productive way the rehab process for an individual client. And so, but, you know, given what I said before about how close we work together, and we really encourage that, and we're related to each other, and we, you know, a board member could be a client, and so on. So to me, those are the main concepts that we need to come up with some good, clear codes.
That's right. We do need to come up with that, but then how are we going to enforce it? This is all fine, but still, you know, if Bob says we think we know what's going on, well then I think those two people need to come and clarify for us what their relationship is. And if not, if it's something that ever, what it appears to be, I think action needs to be taken on it.
Fatosh.
Yes, Fatosh.
I just want to, you know, as a supervisor myself, I would like to know that what your see as your role in the disciplinary procedure, because the way I understood from the labor contract and the personnel that you really do not have any legal role in the disciplinary process.
That's my understanding also, that our role is to both allow the executive director we've hired to do her job and to help guide her in doing her job. But as far as any kind of direct micromanaging of specific disciplinary situations or specific relational situations or whatever, that really is not something that we are charged with doing. If we think that the director we've hired isn't doing what ought to be done, then we can talk with her about that, and we can make suggestions and in fact, you know, direct her to do a certain thing. But
we can,
but we aren't, you know, I think directly involved
I had
in that.
Before, you said a key word in there, guidance, and what Pearl does is our business.
Yes, but as far as having people come, you know, before us to talk about what their situation is, you know, to me, that seems to go beyond what we are responsible for.
What are
well,
we responsible?
Well, we're supposed to be in charge of making sure the process is you know, we okay. That's what we're doing now is rule four is we're
yes.
setting,
I think,
the, yes. setting the
I
procedure.
I think we're making mm-hmm. up our job description as we go along. I called Governor Johann's office and said, hey, what is our, do we have a job description? And they laughed and they said, you should have made up your own job description from day one. And everybody's getting their opinion on what we should be doing. And we don't have any written job description.
Well, I think here we're doing rule four, which is setting the process. And then what I would envision is then Pearl oversees the execution of the process. Now, if there's abuse of process or the process isn't being administered fairly, then that would be a situation where I guess if the party wanted to come in and tell us why they think the you know the process is being administered unfairly, then that might be something we'd get involved in. But you know, the main thing is set up the process, Pearl's to oversee the individual execution of the process, and then if there's abuse of process, then that's our job.
Well, then our authority goes beyond just supervising Pearl under your definition. So if that's a fact, we have to have some guidelines either in the statute itself or policies and guidelines for us to follow what we're supposed to do.
Yeah,
are we supposed to just come in and, you know, if that's our authority just to come in and supervise Pearl, we could go to her office once every 3 months and say, what have you been doing? No.
That's right. And we need to, the five of us need to sit down and make up our own job description, what we're supposed to be doing on this board.
Well, excuse me, just a minute, Patosh. I don't have the, you know, the specific legislation with me, you know, that created the commission, but okay.
If you want me to read that, I can.
Yes. And don't let me forget you, Patosh.
I won't.
I didn't think so.
Surprise. We'll see if this is the part. The commission. Okay, the governing board of the commission shall consist of five members. All board members shall have reasonable knowledge and experience. That no board member or his or her immediate family shall be a current employee of the commission. At least three should be blind, etc. Let's skip to duties. Let's see. The commission shall employ a director who is the administrative officer of the commission. The director shall hire employees as necessary for the efficient operation of the commission. The director shall serve at the pleasure of the commission. The commission shall have, and it's referring to the board, shall have power in each instance, A, to establish standards of qualification for personnel employed pursuant to the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Act, and B, to employ necessary field agents, teachers, and other personnel in accordance with standards. All employees except the director shall be included in the estate personnel system. Let's see, it gets into duties, but it's talking about the organization really in terms of applying for grants and implementing services.
Yeah, when it said that the commission shall hire and all that, that wasn't
right.
The board, that was the commission itself.
I think the only thing it says is that we hire Pearl.
I think that part was.
So is that all our job is to hire Pearl?
Well, we oversee
director.
Pearl and.
Right.
Okay,
and,
there
overseer.
Is something about
what
the policy,
does that
setting
mean?
Policies somewhere mm-hmm. in there.
Right.
I, you know, if I had the
something
bill with me.
Something
that
says setting policy?
But yes, yeah, okay. And that's what our
maybe
job is. We're not
the
personnel.
The thing to do would be
hirers.
To ask someone from the audience to read through this law while we go on with discussion to find the specific language that duties of the board Would that be acceptable?
Well, why would the governor say we have no job description?
Because when we created the law, we did so in such a way that we would be, you know, as a freestanding agency, we would, the governing board would set the policies and hire the director and, you know, evaluate that person and that sort of thing. But we didn't want to be micromanagers at the time that we created the law. And so it's just like, you know, some entities that create constitutions do so in such a way that they hand tie themselves to, you know, micro levels of responsibility or whatever. Some constitutions are more in the area of being guidelines.
But when something is real blatant, I think that's something that we need to take action on.
Well, I think if we have the authority to establish policies, we also have the authority to see that those policies are carried out.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
One of the things I think that's really important here is the fact that both the labor contract and the state rules and regulations, which those cover all employees of the commission, they have very clear provisions for disciplining, for what can be disciplined and how it's done. It's very precise in the steps, and we do absolutely follow exactly those steps where it's appropriate. Now, you keep bringing up one specific example, which really the difference in how we're perceiving that is whether or not it's inappropriate. And I am in a public meeting, think that it's very inappropriate to discuss a particular situation. The focus topic on developing our rules and regulations, our chapter 4, is where I think it's very appropriate within a public meeting. And coming up with language that will satisfy all of us to what is appropriate, what is professional, that's the part I really seek your guidance on. In a private session, an executive session, I would be happy to discuss details of a situation and whether or not discipline should be followed or not, and whether or not somehow I've not complied with the very strict process that's in place.
Madam Chairman?
Yes,
I know Fatosh had the floor first, maybe, before I did.
Yes.
But.
So we'll, Fatosh?
The way I understand the process, even if you wanted to micromanage, you couldn't, because you are not part of the process, disciplinary process.
That's
it is set by the Nebraska personnel, and we as agency need to abide by that. I mean, if you want to go and do your own labor contract and deal with the labor union, you know, but you need to do that. I mean, because it's a set process that you cannot be part of. The other thing is that we work very hard as supervisors to keep the confidentiality of the clients and employers both. And I think it is very important to make sure that you as commissioners really work on that also. I think you do have a responsibility to be a role model. And if you are breaking that in a public forum, I think it will not be a good thing for the agency or for
consumers. Okay, Fatosh, you're suggesting somebody's breaking somebody's confidentiality?
Well, as you said, Dorothy, you know, blindness community is a small community. And although if I know that my client has been known, I will not give enough information that anybody in this room will know who that person is. I think in the previous meetings, there's enough information given that we know who you're talking about, and not only we as staff people, but also is that in the community also. And okay. I think we need to be very careful.
In the community, don't you think all the blind people say, they know what, they see what's going on, they say, why isn't there something done about that?
No, well, first of all, Dorothy, I don't know, I mean, I don't know the details because it is not my business. But I believe you all know, don't know the details. The black community talks, you know. If you are going to listen and believe in the rumors that's going on, you're not going to the right source.
It's not rumors. And I'm not believing rumors, so.
Well, Dorothy, you are not working in the agency and you don't really know the status of what is happening yourself. So you're hearing from somebody else. But what I'm suggesting is that.
Okay, I'm asking questions. I'm asking questions of our director and what is being done. She can tell us in an executive session.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That's what, I mean, I think that is really a place to talk about it, you know, and talk with her. I mean, I have no problem for you to talk to her. But I think, you know, what you said is absolutely right, Dorothy, is that, and I'm talking as a consumer and as a staff person, is that, you know, you are right. You need to, get together and find out what your mission is. And do a job, definition. You know, I think the commission is so new, I think we're all struggling.
That's what I mean. It mm-hmm. is new, mm-hmm. and like we should have made up our job description the first time we met or prior to that.
But I mean, well, I think we're all learning. I mean,
yeah, we are all learning. Yeah.
Well, I know that I'm learning, but I also don't, you know, I don't altogether believe that we don't know, you know, what it is that we're expected to do, or that we have, you know, in somehow or another blown it as far as, you know, we should have done something or the other a long time ago. You know, any process in a state governmental entity takes time to do. You know, when we've, mm-hmm. you know, the first three chapters of rule, you know, we dealt with them a long time ago. They still haven't come to their final approval, but that isn't because we have sat on our laurels or, you know, whatever. It's because the thing takes time. And today what we really need to be doing is helping with the development of chapter 4 of the rule. You know, that is one of the things that we are, you know, we are supposed to be doing, you know, the making of policy. And I think too that it's dangerous for us to take anything that we hear out and around somewhere and see it as something.
Okay,
that,
I will reiterate
that
this.
A, we ought to deal with, or B, that we really know necessarily what's happening. And if we, you know, if you want to add another aspect to the executive session of today, that being staff and client relations or whatever in a specific way, we can vote to do that, and then we need to, I think, get back to what we're supposed to be doing with this particular time period now. So is that something that you want to?
That would be a good idea, but I'm all saying, you're suggesting that I don't know what is going on. I'm listening to gossip, and that is not true.
Well, I think if we want to talk specifics, we need to do it in an executive session.
That's right. I agree with you.
If you want to make a motion to include that along with the grievance process, then we need to vote to do that, and then we need to, you know, deal with the subject at hand. So is there a motion to do that?
I'll make a motion to do that.
Is there a second?
I would second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we also, in executive session, talk about staff client relations.
Specific case.
Is there discussion?
How much time do we have for the room, Pearl? I know there's some discussion about the cost, but what, How long are we entitled to use this room?
Jan worked all those details. I would think she reserved it for the whole day. I'm barely...
I could double check that.
Pardon?
I could go and check.
That would be good.
I'm
looking at the contract here to see if it has, okay, we adjourn at 5. We have the room until 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, so there being, is there further discussion of that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Well, my thought would be, and I don't know how it's, maybe it's kind of sounds like it's done this way anyway now, Pearl, is, you know, like you said, there's so many different, when you start talking about relatives, and I mean, you know, the net gets pretty wide about, you know, who's might have conflicts of interest or relationships and such, but that it would seem like if, you know, and you know, I suppose you could cast the net wide and say if a staff member, counselor, anybody is having a personal relationship with a client,